There but for the grace go I. If you've never said these words before, certainly you have heard someone say them. And the quote has troubled me for years, in that it felt like it was putting me in a special place, that God gave me grace and didn't give it to those other people. And I felt like that I was kind of like the Pharisee in this reading today. If I were to think of God favoring others. And even in our psalm, it tells us that God does not favor even the poor. It goes around, back around to what we've been talking about God being a just God. So after considering all of this, I read the parable again, and I thought I'd see, just for fun, what AI would say on the internet. That was pretty exciting. So I was a little bit surprised by what I found. And apparently there's a subtext to this phrase that has kind of changed over time. And that is that the emphasis on the phrase now is more focused on empathy for the people who don't have God's grace. And instead of the word grace. I didn't see any alternate actual words, but that was one of the things AI told me. But the most important and most interesting part of it was what AI did have to say. So there are biblical roots of this quote to ponder, for us to ponder. One overview from AI suggests that the meaning implies that the speaker feels fortunate not to be in a bad situation, and they believe their own good fortune is due to divine favor. It goes on to say that it expresses humility by acknowledging that they could have suffered the same misfortune as someone else if not for God's help. Now, this explanation didn't go over particularly well with me, and I kind of thought, well, yeah, I'm right. That's what's implied here. I'm better than you. God loves me more, and so I don't suffer as much as you do. So I switched from AI. You're going to love this. Well, to Wikipedia, but then there was a tab for Wiktionary. Who knew? I've never used Wiktionary until today. Who knew there was even such a thing? There I found the information that the statement is rooted in Paul's letter in 1 Corinthians when he says, "Last of all, to one born abnormally, he appeared to me, for I am the least of the apostles, not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am." It was also noted there in Wiktionary that this phrase was attributed not only to rooted in Paul's letter in the Corinthians, but also, believe it or not, St. Francis. And I figured if St. Francis and Paul both thought this was a good sort of perspective, then maybe I should re-examine how I felt about it. Thinking, is it only by God's grace that we are spared the trials and tribulations that could happen to us? What if we didn't have God's grace? So then there was another little historical thing that said the statement was attributed to a man named John Bradford as he watched a group of prisoners being led to execution. He was then imprisoned in the London Tower Jail for doing something to Queen Mary I. I'm not sure what. Just FYI, John Bradford was an English reformer and martyr. As I said, he was imprisoned. And he was burned at the stake in 1555. So, again, I'm trying to think, where do I stand on this? And I keep thinking, you know, St. Francis and Paul knew what they were saying, right? More so than me. So, okay, wait a minute now. So I thought, let's look at it in a little different way. It can be noted that it's an expression of humility. It acknowledges that all the good in one's life happened only through God's grace. In other words, it's not about the other person. It's about the speaker. It's about me. Acknowledging that because I'm a recipient of God's grace, that I'm in a good spot. Not saying that the other people aren't, which is good. Anyway, so that kind of got me the first step to being a little bit more open about this phrase. And it was interesting. Several places that I looked referred to this statement as a proverb. I didn't go down that road, but I might one day. So again, I thought, okay, Paul thought this and Francis thought this. I need to realign my brain. And I need to think about it in terms of what does it mean to me, not so much as I considered in the past, what does it mean about the others? Assuming that the others don't have what I have, and I'm better because of it, like the Pharisee. I do all these things. I'm fine. I don't need anything. I've earned God's grace. Well, God's grace cannot be earned. It is a gift. It cannot be taken away. It is ours. So as it's true in most Bible studies that I engage in, I found out a lot of other interesting insight into the two men's prayers in today's reading, and a different perspective to the interpretation of what Paul said in Corinthians. Then in today's reading of Timothy, we hear these words from Paul that seem to sound like the self-righteous Pharisee. As Paul speaks confidently that he has the crown of righteousness reserved for him. So where's the difference here? Well, the difference in this particular situation is Paul is writing from prison. He's not interested in being glorified, or he's there. He's down to it. Unlike the Pharisee who is praying, showing himself in the temple. So while Paul is writing from prison, and the Pharisee glorifies himself, that's the key right there. When the Pharisee glorifies himself, the biggest difference in this and all of this, for me in this gospel today, is that the Pharisee glorifies himself and attributes his blessing. It is because of who he is and how righteous he is that he's the best, as opposed to the tax collector who can't even look up. He recognizes that everything comes from God, not from him. And he offers and acquiesces his power and his being to God. The tax collector trusted in God rather than himself. So the tax collector humbles himself before God and gives all the credit to God for all the good in his life. God, he trusted God. Conversely, the Pharisee claimed that he had established himself as blessed. So this whole thing, this statement, "There before the grace of God go I," takes on a deeper and different meaning for me. What we do or what we don't do is between us and God. It considers in all of that that someone else is suffering, and that person could be me. That person could be me. And the statement becomes, from the tax collector, an acknowledgement and thanksgiving for all God has given him, given us. It declares the power of grace, not the power of me. Remember, grace is freely given by God, and it cannot be earned. It is a gift, and it cannot be taken away. So, I considered, and I invite you to consider with me, who am I? Am I the Pharisee or the tax collector? And maybe a little bit of both. as I look over my time in different places that I've served or ministered or whatever it was, there were times where I felt like I should have been acknowledged and I wasn't. I should have done more and I didn't. People didn't understand what it was I was saying. So in that regard, I started to reevaluate, like I said, the statement. Now, I'm not sure that I'll ever use it, but I might, just because I still don't fully understand it. So going back to who am I? Am I the Pharisee or the tax collector? I think a little of both. What then can I do for God? And how do I do it? And where do I do it? And where in my life, where in your life do you see God? And how do you present yourself to God in your prayers? Amen.